Hello, everyone, and welcome to TAG, Tech Start Live. I'm Larry Williams, President and CEO of TAG, and I'm pleased to bring you another edition of this week's weekly podcast featuring our technology community's best and brightest leaders. This podcast is all about showcasing what makes Georgia the number one place to do business and shining a spotlight on the Georgia technology companies that are helping lead the way in innovations across our many key industry sectors. And we're bringing a lot of the stories today about how our technology community and our great TAG members are helping to manage and help to solve and even cure this current public health crisis, but mainly how we can really manage through it. So we're very proud of our TAG members and our technology community. I'm joined today by Ron Stewart, the president and CEO of PRGX. Ron was named PRGX president and chief executive officer in December of 2013. Ron is also a member of the company's board of directors. Prior to joining PRGX, Ron spent 30 years at Accenture. So he's just seen a lot of that evolution and how Accenture has grown. And he's always been involved in the executive positions and in the executive leadership. So PRGX is headquartered here in Atlanta. PRGX is a global leader in recovery audit and spend analytics services. So we really look forward to learning more. Ron, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here, Larry.
Right. Ron, could you just give us a quick overview on PRGX?
Absolutely. So PRGX is actually has been around for 50 years and based in here in Atlanta. We work with very large, complex organizations. 75% of the world's largest retailers are our clients. We have about a third of the largest companies in the Fortune 500, and we work in spend analytics and spend data. We aggregate enterprise spend across the company, and we identify payment and billing discrepancies, and we recover working capital on behalf of our clients. We generate about $1.4 billion a year in recoveries for our clients.
Wow, that's real money.
It gets to be, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's money they might have walked away from, which is always important to recover that. It's great for the cash flow as well as for the balance sheet at the end of the year, right?
Right, absolutely.
So, Ron, I know that y'all do cover, and you mentioned it, a broad base of industries and
right.
Businesses within them. And I think you do large businesses as well as small. But talk to us a little bit more about the industries that you serve.
Absolutely.
Maybe the different services that you provide them.
Okay. Our largest industry is retail. And recovery audit really started in the retail industry. Way back then, with rubber fingers, finding duplicate payments or billing errors, working with many retailers. And today it's highly technology driven. We serve, like I said before, 75% of the largest retailers and e-commerce providers. And we get massive amounts of data, all the point of sale data, all the receiving data, all the movement data. And, for the most part, we're finding either payment discrepancies with duplicate payments or unapplied statement credits, or we're going up looking at deals or between CPG companies and grocers, for example, and we verify these merchandising agreements to verify that everything was executed properly. So, and that's our biggest industry. Then we have the non-retail, which we call commercial, includes a large number of clients: energy, technology, telecommunications, manufacturing, consumer goods, pharmaceutical companies. These are all companies that we'd be working with in the commercial segment. And again, we're looking for payment discrepancies, billing errors, a lot of work in contract compliance, direct spend and indirect spend.
Talk to us a little bit about how, your industry and your company has evolved with technology. Say 50 years in the business, looking at this, I imagine it's really evolved from a very manual process.
Oh, yeah.
To a very digitized. And so talk about some of the technologies. I imagine there's some great data science, some analytics, maybe some machine learning going on in there. So talk about the evolution of your business.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. In the early days, it was going through boxes of paper invoices and trying to find where you'd been billed twice or billed incorrectly. So it was a fairly manual, laborious process. And that's evolved with technology over time, having it automated on computers and a lot of spreadsheets. The advent of big data processing, we surely are at the forefront of that. And we apply artificial intelligence and machine learning. We aggregate and we pull about 7 million unique distinctive files every year from a variety of clients, and we have to process, aggregate, harmonize different data fields across the client so that we understand what the various parts of the business are doing. And we run it through complex algorithms that identify discrepancies, again, using advanced technology to do that. We generate where there's a discrepancy. It may be a pattern that you identify that would ultimately result in a claim. And we generate claims and present them to our clients and the suppliers for our clients and have them approved. But it's very big data oriented, a lot of analytics to identify these discrepancies, and then workflow technology to get things approved and processed.
Well, $1.4 billion is certainly compelling. So talk about, some of these things you would think today and age, companies could be able to manage through on their own. But talk about some of the more common challenges that your customers are facing, how PRGX can help them. But it's really, people aren't doing it on their own. What is the challenge that they continue to face?
And that's a great question. And we get asked all the time, we go in and we find an error or a discrepancy, don't your clients just fix it and ultimately you guys aren't needed anymore? Well, we've been working for most of our clients for decades. We have some of our clients we've been with for over 40 years. So we haven't gone away so far. And they're really, there's several fundamental issues that all companies have to deal with. So first of all, is supply chain complexity. Back in the day, supply chain was localized or vertically integrated versus today, where you're sourcing product all over the world and there's a constant churn with suppliers as you find new opportunities and new deals and a vast difference of sophistication in these companies. So it's always changing, it's always moving. And because of that, it's not a stable supply chain environment, and that creates errors. In the environment we see today with the COVID-19, companies, as you see, especially the grocery companies or the CPG companies, are just trying to respond to the demand, and they're churning suppliers and finding new suppliers just to react to the demand, and that ultimately results in discrepancies and errors that have to be ultimately reconciled. Is just the proliferation of information systems that people use, and the amount of data that these systems generate is just astronomical. Used to be in the 90s, we all thought the world was going to be either SAP or Oracle, but with the advent of cloud and cloud computing, companies have access to all kinds of solutions that they can use to support their source-to-pay processes. And so, hence, there's just a lot more data and a lot more systems that aren't exactly integrated and aren't always aligned, and that's where errors occur. The last thing I'd say is that, just the amount of change going on and the amount of transactions out there. Companies, don't have the investment in controls and control systems to keep up with the constant change going on in technology. And that's where we come in. So, these things aren't going away. It's going to continue to happen. And fortunately for us, we can provide a service, a very necessary service for years to come.
So Ron, you've seen a couple of these economic downturns. I'll just use a broader phrase for now. And as you know, I'm sure you've witnessed, it's one of the things that's absolutely critical right now is how to optimize working capital during a crisis.
Absolutely.
Cash flow, as well as just the stockpiling of money for the for a rainy day or for the future. So talk to us about what you're seeing people can do, what businesses in Georgia can do to optimize their working capital, and then any scenarios about optimizing the cash flow.
Absolutely. And it is times like this that working capital and access to cash are essential. And we're seeing lots of companies have issues with that we're glad to help with. But first of all, I think, the big thing for us in the world of source to pay and every dollar of goods and services that go from a buyer to a seller, a third party relationship, goes through source to pay. There's about $16 trillion of spend in the Global 2000, for example. And so it's a massive area, but it's also a very complex area for companies because it's so pervasive across these organizations. So errors do exist and leakage does exist. We see across the entire source to pay spectrum from proper sourcing and then disciplined procurement all the way through supply chain, all the way through billing and payment. But generally 5 to 10% of every dollar spent on goods and services is lost just due to inefficiencies and errors and incomplete information, suboptimal information in the source to pay process. So it's money that's in the system that gets trapped and it gets leaked. So our job is to help to identify that and to help recover it and to keep it from happening in the future. So what we would recommend for any company is to have an active recovery audit or at least contract compliance audit program underway that would address all areas of spend and doing so in a more accelerated fashion. Traditionally, a lot of companies look at recovery audit, 3, 6, 9, even 12 months or longer after the transaction. And we tell our clients that, rather than waiting that long to find a discrepancy and to enter into some sort of a recovery, start moving that into much more of a current system, either real time or near real time audit program. So that's important. I think, the payment terms that you've negotiated, you'd be surprised at how much money is left on the table by just not enforcing and executing against the agreed upon payment terms that companies have established with their suppliers. And then also, you see quite a bit of disparity across companies in terms of the terms that they use in negotiating with their suppliers. And I think look at your industry and understand the benchmark and what is the typical term that would be in play. Because again, that's money you're sending out the door. And if you're paying earlier than everyone else, you're putting yourself at a disadvantage. I think spend analytics to put in, analytics systems to look at the amount of spend and find areas that are either that need to be sourced more frequently or perhaps have a highly fragmented spend pattern to them. So, you can learn a lot by just analytics. And then look how you're paying suppliers. People are, we see all the time very inefficient payment processes, either, paying too many invoices with checks at very low amounts of spend versus using virtual cards or P cards. Those are just a few of them, but there are a lot of ways that companies can identify and capture or recapture that leakage just in the current spend that they're executing every year.
You know, that's an impressive number, $16 trillion worth of spend, and yeah. Then 5 to 10% of inefficiency within that. That's a lot, 5 to 10% of 16 trillion is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
That's a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
And as we think about that and put it in context to COVID-19 and what we're doing now, that's an extremely important amount of money for that cash flow, going back to the cash flow and the access to capital.
Right.
That is right there that the businesses have control over. This isn't going after somebody else's or a third party form of capital. This is right. Their capital.
It's found money, and it's right there in front of you. So we think that's the first place to start, get that low hanging fruit.
And get it early as well. Don't wait 12 months. Go ahead and put systems in place where you're capturing it now.
Yeah. And we go with a good audit program, you can actually start to see benefits in 30, 60, 90 days. And so it doesn't take long to have some benefit when you do this accurately.
Yeah. Well, what are some of the measures there? So if a business can accurately and consistently measure the vendor payment performance, how do you help them do that?
Well, again, we're capturing all the spend and payment data across the enterprise. So we're able to aggregate and analyze it to see where there are differences and where there are discrepancies. And you look at, the performance of suppliers, you look at performance of different divisions. So, you can get it boiled down to where some of the outliers are pretty quickly. But, we do use a lot of analytics, and again, you got to be able to look at the entire enterprise and pull all of it together. And there's so many different systems that most companies use. Getting it all into the common data fields and being able to compare across these various systems is the big challenge there. But once you do, you can pretty easily evaluate where the issues are, where the problem suppliers are, or perhaps as parts of the business that are performing better than others.
You had talked about a global supply chain and the complexity of it before. Just really curious about just your observations. I think one thing that has been highlighted through this process and supply chain is in some cases, there's been a lack of redundancy in supply chain. We've gone so tight and so lean that now people are actually seeing the value in some redundancy of the supply chain. Mm-hmm. Are you observing that either through your clients or just in the industry in general?
Yeah, we do. And I think we're going to see a lot more of it going forward. I mean, when you look at, some of the things that we track retail sales and the retail supply chain very, very closely, and inventories, going through this COVID-19 period, are just decimated, and companies had no expectation of the demand that was about to hit them. And so you're seeing stock outs all over the place. You're seeing, the suppliers, just working feverishly to find new sources of supply. And I think that's been a big wake up call where, the reliance on one or two suppliers has created some real issues and some lost opportunities. So I think you're going to see that. And obviously, with what's going on around protectionism with some of the around the world in certain supplies and certain commodities has impacted us. So I think you're going to see a real change in how people think about security of supply chain and think about redundancy of supply chain and control of supply chain. So we expect to see a lot of new procedures and new processes and new investments come out of this COVID-19.
Well, I've got to imagine that you're helping influence and provide some thought leadership into those new processes and procedures. If I think about the supply chain itself, one aspect that you mentioned is security of the supply chain. Mm-hmm. So people can think about security from, the leakage issue that you mentioned before, but there are a lot of things where you've got to really maintain the integrity of a product during shipping. So everything from pharmaceuticals to food to other things that are highly sensitive. So What do you see, and how do you see any trends in the how we manage that supply chain moving forward?
You know, we and our role is not, you know, necessarily moving the goods, so we're tracking returns and we can, you know, provide insights and visibility into all that. But I think in general, you know, there's been a lot of, especially in the food industries, food safety and being able to be very consistent around the world of how, you know, companies can ensure the safety of the product and the freshness of the product, and you know where it came from, and you can get to the source if there is an issue. So that's been emerging, but, you know, I think it's going to accelerate significantly, and, you know, with technology and being able to, you know, being able to get lower in the price point. You know, it used to be that you spent a lot more effort on the more high-priced items than the lower price, but you're seeing that change. So I would expect to continue along those lines. And then, you know, just, you know, how transportation works and different modes of transportation that could be impacted in a situation like we've seen here. Again, you know, people are going to look at alternatives and redundancy. So all those things are going to be at play.
Yeah, and I got to imagine that through a lot of your recovery audits and spend analytics that could help identify some of the chinks in the armor throughout this whole process. Hey, I want to switch gears a little bit to Georgia. We love our state. We're the Technology Association of Georgia.
Yeah.
We're proud that we're a top five technology state, often not recognized for the great benefits that we have. But tell us about the benefits you have of having your global headquarters here in our great state.
Well, first of all, Atlanta is a great business city and always has been. It's a great pool of resources. We use a lot of technology resources. We're, you know, big data analytics, data science, and we've been, you know, very fortunate to be able to recruit, retain some incredible talent. And I think that's a big tribute to the technology education that we live around with Georgia Tech and other universities here. So good pool of resources for accounting. You know, it is the fintech hub, and we're, you know, at the end of the day, a financial technology business. So I think, you know, that plays well to us. And we operate in 30 countries around the world. So having that airport and being able to get anywhere we need to, normal times, this is a little bit different today, but that's been great. So, you know, we think Atlanta is a perfect place for us to be headquartered and have no plans of doing anything but stay here.
Well, that's great. I'm always glad to hear that. So what's next? PRG actually been around 50 years. What's the next 50 look like? And what, and even near term, what does your crystal ball say over the next 12 months?
All right. So first of all, where we're going, I mean, we are taking advantage of, you know, the technologies that are available. We've just gone through a pretty momentous transformation of our technology infrastructure, starting with our data technology and our data foundation to really leverage in-memory, high-speed, high-volume, high-complexity, data manipulation and data aggregation. So that's making a big difference in terms of how quickly we can find things, and which enables us to go to much more of a real-time and even a preventative type of a service. So rather than doing a recovery, you know, 6-12 months after the fact, identify it, the discrepancy before you pay the invoice, or even in some cases before you enter into the transaction, so that that you can avoid these kind of payments. The second thing is, you know, with the massive amount of data and being able to integrate analytics into the data processing, you know, being able to monitor leakage and monitor opportunities so that you can identify it early and stop it early. You know, those are things that we're moving to. And we just see our whole model changing to a much more technology-enabled, real-time, preventative type of a service that's real fundamental to the operation of the company, and trying to keep that 5 to 10% of leakage from occurring in the first place. So very much taking advantage of the current technologies and where that's going to be leading us.
Well, Ron, let me follow up on that a little bit. So where are you in the evolution of this? I mean, are you going to a point where the technology will be able to auto-correct some of the systems in real time, and then maybe a triage of different levels that go to a human for validation? Do you want us to correct this or not correct it? So where are you sort of on the scale of the data science and the analytics just being able to autocorrect systems within the data itself and within the computers itself versus the human touch that's required?
Yeah, well, and again, we work alongside our clients, and we're not going to be in a position where we're going in and changing a lot of their transactional systems as we go, but our job is to identify it quickly and notify the client of where that discrepancy is. So much more of a notification, and in certain cases, it may be that that will integrate into more active type interface with some of their legacy systems or their current ERP. But it is about how quickly you can identify things and stop it before it happens. But we typically are going to be very much working alongside our clients to notify them before we take a lot of action.
Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So what else do you want to add?
Well, I think, a lot of people ask me, how's this COVID-19 impacting what we do? And, and about 75% of our clients are actually in the the necessary grocery and drugstore e-commerce business. So we've been very fortunate to be working with companies that are not being negatively affected by COVID-19, that's been very promising for us, and versus a lot of companies that we know are really struggling. And So we're working furiously. Everybody's working from home, and that's worked out well. We haven't lost any productivity, and people seem to be really working together as team. It's been an amazing experience, and I think we've learned a lot about how to communicate in a remote sense. So it's been an experience none of us are going to forget, but we're going to come out of it. I think we're going to be very healthy as a result.
Well, I have to agree with that. We're all doing the best we can. And I think it's, from our point of view, it's good to have interesting work and being able to work with interesting people like yourself and companies that are doing really interesting things. PRGX, I've always loved the fact that I love how people have found business opportunities in so many different niche areas, and they're so important. And a lot of times you don't realize the scale. So one thing that you shined a light on today is the scale of the business and the industry you're in. Mm-hmm. When you talk about portions of $16 trillion worth of spend, that's scale. And so I'm always pleased to learn how people have thought of ways to make money.
Well, we're right here in Atlanta, so it's good to be here. And thank you, Larry, for everything you do and what TAG does for this community.
Well, thanks, Ron. Ron, thanks so much for joining us today, and thanks to all of you listening. We'll be back soon with another edition of TechStart. On behalf of TAG, we look forward to continuing to serve our tech community as we weather the COVID-19 together.